Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Bob Dylan started out singing other people's songs, but as he says, there came a point where I had to write what I wanted to say because what I wanted to say, nobody else was writing. So born in Hibbing, Minnesota, a town, he says, where you couldn't be a rebel, it was too cold. Bob moved to New York at age 19.
I feel uncomfortable about the word hero because it seems to me that it is so rhetorically proximate to justifications for more war. And I don't want to obviously desecrate or disrespect the memory of anyone that's fallen, and obviously there are individual circumstances in which there is genuine and tremendous.
Go to music.
We are listening to the newest recipient of the United States' top civilian honor, Bob Zimmerman. It was also given to other lifetime left-wing radicals, including novelist Toni Morrison, who I never heard of, John Glenn, the traitor astronaut, Supreme Court Justice, the liberal John Paul Stevens, and the worst Secretary of State in history, Madeleine Halfbright, who now is a lobbyist for China. Play the music a little louder, will you? They don't know what I'm talking about. They never heard of these people. Also given the medal from the communist administration was the left-wing radical communist community organizer Dolores Huerta, a women's basketball coach, and Gordon Hirabashi, who fought Japanese-American internment during World War II. Notice he didn't give the Freedom Award to a man who actually fought the Japanese in World War II, but he gave it to a man who fought Japanese-American internment. That's why Bob Zimmerman was given the award. So many of these people are my heroes individually, said the communist president during the ceremony, recalling how he read Toni Morrison's novel as a young man, blah, blah, blah. Past recipients include the traitor U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, now a lobbyist for China, and others. 1-800-449-8255. There is other big news out there. If you care to comment on this, then you're a bigger fool than I think. Because there's absolutely nothing to say about it that I haven't said already. I mean, why would he give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to a minstrel? Admittedly, he's a fine artist. Bobby Zimmerman is a fine artist. No one's taking that away from him. But why give him the Presidential Medal of Freedom? What has he done to advance freedom in America? Can anyone explain to me what Bob Dylan has done to advance freedom? He glorified drug, sex, and rock and roll. And he's a very, very, very talented minstrel. That he is. Let's move on. This is Michael Savage live from Area 52, not in San Francisco, not in Florida, not in New York. However, I'm heard across America. And the way to reach me is 1-800-449-8255. Let me read you some headlines from some newspapers from the airplane. The Wall Street Journal. Syria crisis deepens divisions. Now, this is an interesting story, because we're about to make the biggest mistake in the history of America since we liberated Egypt from the dictator Mubarak and introduced them to Islamic law, where they'll have a greater dictatorship than they've ever seen, where Christians are being slaughtered in Egypt, swept under the rug by the vermin in the media. The Coptic Christians are being killed, their churches blown up, and these schmucks, including George Bush, gets up 2 weeks ago and says, "Oh, the Arab Spring is wonderful." Are all of these people on laughing gas? What drug do they use? Are they using the same medication that the guy in Florida, the cannibal, is using in a different form? Because they must be on something. For George Bush to go along with the party the party line that the Arab Spring is liberating Arabs, and there's such a thing as a spring in the Arab world, indicates to me that they're all on medication. 1-800, I don't want to hear, knock that call down. I don't care about the traffic backed up by the First Lady. I could care less. What kind of dumb call is that? We're already off. I feel like I'm playing Syria crisis deepens divisions. Let me explain what's going to happen if we knock out Assad, who is an evil dictator. The more evil, the worse evil is waiting in the wings. Assad, as bad as he is protecting Christians and Jews. So you got to make a decision. You want Islamists in the country? You think they're going to be polite to individuals they don't like? Morons, stupid. Who's in charge of everything? Nobody with a brain. These are idiots. Everywhere you turn, these are drug addicts and idiots. They don't know what they're talking about or what they're doing. Again, Syria crisis deepens divisions. What else is in the news? Here's USA Today, a newspaper that's lost money from the day it was printed. This is the headline is, fewer draw on federal support. Safety net shrinks as economy rises. So what's the implication? That Obama saved America? How a garden became a mission, the First Lady on healthful eating. Are you crazy? They put out propaganda like this. I name Michelle Obama the Lord of the Fries. The woman is known to eat fries. She loves fries. What do you mean her garden and healthy eating? Again, propaganda. Remember, Michelle Obama is not into healthy eating. She's the Lord of the Fries. Move on. Didn't hear that. 1-800-449. Now let's another newspaper. Here's the San Francisco Chronicle, a once mediocre newspaper, now not worth virtually very much. Nothing. It's lost $1 million a week for so many years they can't even count the Hearst millions anymore that have gone up in smoke. And they continue to drive the paper into the dust. And what is this about Yosemite? Da 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 da. Visitors to the ballroom. If your life gives you lemons, race them. Blah blah blah. High-end Romney fundraiser. Blah blah blah. So, in other words, there's nothing in the newspaper. For me, the world would be totally insane. What would you like to talk about? Well, shall I read you my emails? I could go on to my email list. Let me see if I can read you some personal emails. Maybe that'll get your attention. I think people have to crucify themselves now in order to get you to listen to talk radio. You have to literally crucify yourself on there verbally in order to get anyone. Because everyone's jaded. Guy at the airport says, arrived, the guy said, how are you, Michael? I said, well, what's the point of complaining? He says, you're right, the pilot says, no one will listen to you anyway. True, no one hears a word you say. Nobody. No one hears a word you say to them. Have you noticed? You see women running around with black. Here's an interesting thing. I saw a woman the other day, a nice-looking middle-aged woman, walking around with the iPhone with a finger on it. You know, they move it around on the screen, left, right, up, down. And I said, and something dawned on me. I felt as though I was in Brobdingnag and I was visiting a strange planet. I see a grown woman dressed well moving her finger around on some device. And I said to myself, it's mental masturbation. Most of iPhone use is fundamentally the equivalent of mental masturbation. Does anyone agree with me on that? Do you actually starting social interaction? But don't call me on that. Please don't. They're not. What did we have, like a slow day here? I got a one came into the tent already. Award to Dylan, a distraction. Knocked the call off. What's the point? It's not good. There's no conversational element to that. Doug, you know, conversational elements of talk radio are not just the guy calling saying, an award to Dylan is a distraction. Why would I take a call like that, Doug? A call is somebody who adds something to what we know and engages you in a conversation. I don't just need a caller. I need a conversation here. So play Blowing in the Wind or something from Bob Zimmerman. Got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Here I am in Area 52. Who's this? Zimmerman again? Well, he's not to be confused with the Zimmerman in Florida. There's no relationship between him and the Zimmerman in Florida. Bob Zimmerman, who plays the harmonica, is not related to the one who killed Trayvon Martin. I'll turn it. It's so slow, it sounds like someone's on Special K. I mean, to listen to this. K Play Bebopalula by Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps. Bebopalula, don't mean maybe. Bebopalula, Bebopalula. There you go. Sound of America, when it still had you-know-what between its legs. Before it became a gelding. A gelding nation! A nation of geldings! Geldings! Drug addicts! Prozac! Geldings! Presidential Medal of Freedom, not to a man who did something to save America, but a man who degenerated America, Bob Zimmerman. That's your president, you schmucks, you! You're a bunch of mental geldings. That's why you got this phony communist in the White House, and you deserve him! She's my baby, Bebopalula. I don't mind my baby, Bebopalula. Lord of the Fries, Michelle Obama, write it down. Healthy eating on USA Today. The woman seen stuffing her face with French fries and all sorts of greasy meats, and they're saying that she's into healthy eating. How much of this propaganda can you take? Over the next 3 weeks, you're going to hear the best Savage shows you ever heard in your life. I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation. Am I music to your ears or a distraction from your drug-addicted stew protecting the Christians and the Jews even though he's a Muslim? So he's a bad guy. And what? The radical Islamists are good guys? What side are they on? They don't even know what's going on. Okay, that's number two. Obama's re-election campaign, The Thriller's Gone, writes, this is an amazing editorial. It was written by Willie Brown over the weekend, and people were abuzz about it. People I didn't even know read that rag said to me, did you see what Willie Brown wrote about Obama? Now, Willie Brown is a lifetime radical left-wing Democrat, but an intelligent one. His eye is always on the business. He's a businessman. Businessman who knew that being a left-wing Democrat would get him where he wants to go. So now he writes Obama's re-election campaign, The Thriller's Gone, Willie Brown, May 27, 2012. Listen to this. The president's trip to the Bay Area last week made it painfully clear that Barack Obama re-election campaign has lost its mojo. There was no life, no personality, no memorable line or moment, and no real enthusiasm in the entire fundraising foray. Now remember, I didn't write this. Willie Brown did. Lifetime liberal Democrat, also an African American. You'd think he would never say anything negative about Obama. He goes on, he says, in short, there was no buzz. It was like a summer rerun of a show that wasn't very interesting to begin with. Worse yet, Obama sounded like he was playing catch-up to Mitt Romney. I can't think of anything that should have him in that role, but he's acting like the underdog. Obama was more than a candidate last time out. He was a popular and cultural phenomenon, a rock star. But the trouble with rock stars, Willie Brown writes, is that they drop like a rock once fans conclude they are over. The trick in politics is not to be a one-hit wonder, but to be more like the Grateful Dead. Jerry and the boys were never what you'd call stars, but their deadheads were legion, and good days or bad, they always turned out in record numbers. That's me. I'm like the Grateful Dead. I'm not what you'd call a star, but my audience is legion, and on good days or bad days, my audience always turns out. Always turn out in record numbers for me. This is the third largest radio show in America because of you, and yet I'm not known. I'm not known except to you, the audience. It's true I have many bestsellers, but that then, of course, if the book sells 12 copies, it's considered as good as Proust. Obama's re-election campaign, The Thrill is Gone. No buzz. Summer rerun. Obama's finished. I didn't write it. What do you make of that? Why would Willie Brown, lifetime left-winger, Democrat party man, write that Obama's re-election campaign, The Thrill is Gone? I'll give you my answer in 1 minute or less. Here's the answer, because Willie Brown is a survivor, if he's anything. And Willie Brown knows which way the wind blows, if he knows anything. And Willie Brown recognizes that Obama is probably going to lose. He knows it from the inside that, as I've heard, top Democrats are afraid of Obama. They know he's crashed the party and destroyed the party after crashing the party. He has taken it so far off course, so far away from the average voter, that there's going to be a landslide unless Romney screws up some way, or Obama rigs the election in some way, or, and here's the or, Michael Savage guesses this happens, the October surprise will occur in September. It will be a war in Iran, and the war in Iran will probably swing the vote back to Obama. He'll strut around like the war hero. He'll re-win the liberal Jews who were afraid of him because they're afraid he was abandoning Israel. Tons of money will fall in his hands again from all of the people who have turned against him, and he'll get reelected. You say, you're kidding, a president? You have no idea what power madness is. You haven't any idea what power madness is. The smallest bureaucrat in your town is a power mad fool, because only a fool would ever run for office to begin with. Who would want to do fundraising? Who would want to get dressed up and shake hands and talk to strangers and get that, like, the smell of people on your hand and be around them? Who would put up with that unless the guy's nuts? So to begin with, you have to be slightly psychotic to be in politics. Now, the higher up you go, the more crazy they are. Why is Romney doing this? Why would Romney run for office altogether? Probably wants to outdo his father. I haven't done the psychological analysis yet of Romney. Probably wants to beat his father and become president. What do you mean? What's his MO? What's his motive? I told you that Obama had a woman problem. I was the first one to do an analysis of Obama when he first got elected, and that's it. Everyone has something. So now none of this matters to any of you. The question is this. All you want to talk about is the award to Bob Dylan. And I say it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because what has Bob Dylan ever done that would warrant a Medal of Freedom? Yes, he's a talented musician. He's a very talented musician. But why give him the award? What is he going to win? 12 guitarists who were thinking of voting for Romney are going to now, like, get off drugs for a day and go to the polling booth and vote for Romney? 12 stone guitarists are going to put down the drug and go into the booth and vote for Obama because he gave it to Bob Dylan? 12 record executives are going to vote for him? Who is he going to get that he wasn't going to get before?
Seven.
I like that echo chamber, man. Welcome back to Savage Nation. Don't you love that echo chamber? Louder. Come on, man. Give it to him. Think of everyone as asleep in the world. No one's really listening. You got to wake him up in radio. Wake him up! Drug, geldings. Everyone's a Grateful Dead listener now. Everyone's gratefully dead in America. Gratefully undead. There's only good news out there is that one of the biggest law firms in America filed for Chapter 11. When I say that again, I want you to applaud. One of the largest law firms in America, 1,300 offices, filed for Chapter 11. 1, 2, 3, a clap. That's the only good news today. There's another one. Fake book shares plumb new depths. Valuation question. Are you crazy? Valuation question. Orange jumpsuit for Fakerberg. Orange jumpsuit for Morgan Stanley. Orange jumpsuit for the SEC. Orange jumpsuit for everybody in the business. What do you mean, plumb's new depths? It's like the bourse in France in 1890. It's like a fake. It's like a South American stock exchange. What are you people, nuts? The whole thing was a rig job. It's like South American sugar futures. Are you people amazing? You believe that there's a thing called Wall Street that's regulated by Obama? They put him in office, schmuck. Here's another headline, most popular. Fukushima radiation seen in tuna off California. Well, I'll start to glow now. 30 years ago, they said, oh, don't eat tuna. I've been eating tuna every day of my life for the last, like, 50 years. So now they're first, oh, you're gonna die from, mercury in tuna. Well, great, I'm not as mad as I had it yet. Okay, 6 bestsellers, top radio show. If I'm mad, what does that make you? The man with nothing. Oh, you're smart. I love it when people walk around because they're a loser that makes them smarter than me. I love that one. Yeah, I'm too good to make it in America. Only the lowlifes make it to the highest level. I remember that argument. All the fine poets of San Francisco walking around like that. Fukushima radiation seen in tuna off California. So for 30 years, oh, watch out. The mercury in the tuna is going to kill you. Blah, 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 blah. I love tuna fish sandwiches. I love ahi, mahi, smashi. I eat it all. So now nuclear radiation turned up in bluefin tuna. Well, maybe the tuna will live now. And leave the tuna alone. I hate that show on television. They should arrest the tuna fishermen from Massachusetts. I mean, it's one thing to hunt. It's another thing to fish. Another thing to glorify killing the poor animal. The tuna is more noble than the fishermen. Small amounts of cesium-137 and cesium-134 were detected in 15 tuna caught near San Diego on August 11. About 4 months in. It's not good. I'm going to start to glow now. My hair has been turning brown, like the gray is left. I wonder if that's one of the side effects of radiation. Is that before you die of radiation poisoning, your hair turns, all the gray leaves you. That could explain it. Because my been asking me, what have you been doing differently if your hair is turning brown again? I said, nothing. I don't use Just for Men. I don't believe in that crap. If I wanted to have brown hair, man, what's the difference? I got gray hair because I've worried, I've worked, I've succeeded, you know. So I got gray hair. It's a product of life. I'm proud of every gray hair I have. I wouldn't dye my hair. What do I have to do, impress somebody? But now it's turning brown for no reason. It's like weird. It's like my fingernails are growing. My hair's turning brown. It's like ghoulish. Radiation seen in tuna off California. That's not good. So I don't think I'm going to cut down on it. There was about five times the background amount of cesium-137 and bluefin tuna they tested. But that is still a tiny quantity. Of course it's a tiny quantity. There's nothing there. Nothing. It's so minuscule. There's nothing there. Nothing. But I want you to believe there is a danger in eating tunas because now maybe the fish will be left alone before you fish them out and kill them. Let the fishermen on that show go get a regular job. Bluefin tuna excreted on a daily basis. You hear this? That they put at the end of the article. There are probably much higher levels of cesium-134 present in bluefin tuna off Japan soon after the accident, as much as 50% higher than normal. Cesium-134 decays quickly with a half-life of 2 years. Bluefin tuna excreted on a daily basis, but also gets diluted in their bodies. So you're not getting any. Bluefin tuna typically have low levels of naturally occurring radioactive material, such as potassium-40, which was present in the world's oceans long before MSNBC came along and scared you. Potassium-40, present in the world's oceans long before human beings walked the earth. Fish can swim through it, ingest it through their gills, taking in seawater. Bluefin tuna, leave them alone. Leave the fish alone. Leave the fish alone. Leave them alone. Leave the poor animals alone. What else is in the news? Fukushima radiation seen in tuna off California. Another scare tactic. Another shocker to give you a scare job. You want to go back to the dumb story? Let's go to the dumb story. Obama honors Dylan and other heroes. Is he a hero? Is Bob Dylan a hero? Let's ask you that. And what's the what's the political value to giving Bob Dylan a Presidential Medal of Freedom? It debases the whole. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to give you an example, and you got to take it for what it is. I'm in Area 52. I haven't been in the studio in a year. Come in here. It's like Ichabod Crane. Spiders have to be swept out. I almost got bitten by a brown recluse. I just killed me. I crushed it under a Wall Street Journal. I looked at this little thing on my hand. I went to the bathroom, came out with a spider on my hand about to bite me, threw it off, crushed it. It's old studio. So I had the whole thing like redone. I had the engineer here. Just before the show started, the fax machine didn't work. See, it's working now. You hear? So we got a guy here, a tech came in, and he heard me talking about the Presidential Medal of Freedom before the show started. And I said, why doesn't Obama just give it to Chaz Bono instead of Bob Dylan? I mean, what are you, crazy? Then you'll get the transvestite vote, the transsexual vote? You get 1,600 people extra going to vote for you because you gave it to Chaz Bono. What is this guy, nuts? So the guy is a quiet guy, the technician. He's a Hispanic man, and he shook his head quietly. He said, I agree with you. He didn't know who I was. I served 10 years in the Marine Corps. It's an embarrassment to see the president do this. Don't you see that he just alienated veterans by giving it to these losers, these left-wing fanatics? Yes, they're talented. I said Bob Dylan's a fabulous singer, a wonderful minstrel, but not the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's like giving to that whack job. Why would he give it to Madeleine Albright, who is a lobbyist for China and the worst secretary of hate in the history of the country? The woman botched everything. A lunatic. She couldn't even make a good brisket. But the guys in Washington thought that she was so authentic that they thought the brisket she bought in Safeway that she had her cook make was an authentic brisket from Brooklyn. This is the show. So everything is ersatz in the country today. Even the brisket is fake. The secretaries of state are fake. Nothing's real. It's like the movie Capricorn 1. The whole country's Capricorn 1. There was no moon landing. It was all staged in Hollywood. Remember that fantasy? It's like there's no presidency and there's no Congress. It's all staged for you by the newspapers. It's crazy. The whole thing's nuts. Do you feel better now that I've made you think for the day and you feel... There's a lot of questions. I don't want to ask you these questions. Memorial Day. Yeah, right. Memorial Day. Get drunk. Stuff your face with a hot dog. Why don't you get the Presidential Medal of Freedom hot dog? Maybe you could put out the Obama hot dog, the Presidential Medal of Freedom hot dog. You know, with a picture of Obama on the Frankfurter. For contributions to the culture. Cultural impact, the hot dog. The hot dogs also had a big cultural impact. In fact, you say that the hot dog should get a Presidential Medal of Freedom to Obama because it's a hero for its cultural impact. It's not the object of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It's not for its cultural impact. What is the Presidential Medal of Freedom, Beowulf? Who started it? If I remember correctly, it was started by, was it started by Truman? You see, I know that. It wasn't given to, like, singers and to left-wing, you know, organizers. It's unbelievable to me. You say, okay, oh, you're mad because he didn't give it to you. Don't be stupid. I would never get such an award, whether it be from George. Remember George Bush's wife was allegedly a librarian into books? Here's Michael Savage knocking one book after another onto the New York Times bestseller list. I'm a cultural icon, one conservative bestseller after another. Laura Bush never heard of me. So don't think I expect anything from anybody. I expect nothing from anybody. Nothing from anybody. I'm not jealous. It means nothing to me. New York, WOR, Carl, you're on the greatest show on earth, the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
And it is the greatest show on earth, and I think he did it because his name was Zimmerman, because he was a 1960s and on icon. Anybody born from 1959 who was a liberal rock and roller like myself, who has moved now more to the right, they're going to think about voting for Obama, and they're going to think about it because he was Jewish. His name is Zimmerman. Probably to counteract the truth that's going to come out from down in Florida.
But wait, hold on. Are you telling me that you're now going to vote for Obama because he gave an award to Bob Zimmerman?
No, I'm not telling you I would, but there's a lot of people who are moving a little bit more to the center that used to be heavy liberals, heavy stoners, heavy rock and rollers. This is going to, like, energize them to a degree.
I don't know. I mean, if it's a political decision, and everything this man does is political, as every politician knows, any politician, every decision is political, how is he going to win people over by giving a Presidential Medal of Freedom to a guitarist from the 60s who is admittedly a very talented guitarist, but certainly not worthy of a Presidential Medal of Freedom?
Okay, first of all, he wasn't a talented guitarist. He was a talented songwriter. As a guitarist, he was a Hammond Eager.
Interesting.
But be that being said, he was an icon. And
well, that's right. Didn't he write All Along the Watchtower?
Oh, sure. He wrote it.
Yes. He wrote it and Jimi Hendrix played it. Bob Dylan is a fine poet. Let's put it that way. But again, Presidential Medal of Freedom? Why? What has he got to do? What has it got to do with freedom? You see, Obama's parsing words. Here's what it's all about. He's confusing in the mind of the public the word freedom with liberation. And this is the thing to remember. Obama sat in Jeremiah Wright's church for 20 years, picking up on black liberation theology. Liberation theology. Liberation is a leftist phenomenon. Liberation. You understand? So Bob Dylan, liberation, liberal, not freedom. Freedom is the guy who got whacked in Iraq. Freedom is the guy who got his legs knocked off in Afghanistan. That's freedom, not this garbage. It's an embarrassment to the word freedom.
All right, but that's how demented and maybe how desperate he's getting.
Well, I read Willie Brown's thing on him. You heard me read that, right?
Right.
Can you believe that an African-American, lifetime liberal would write that about Obama? Why do you think he did that?
I think he's hedging his bet.
Yeah. He's a businessman, and he senses which way the wind blows. See, one thing Willie Brown knows is which way the wind blows, and he senses Obama may be finished.
Right.
But there's another element, which is the top dog Democrat money machine. They're turning on Obama because they fear that the man has destroyed the party and the country. He's such a left-wing fanatic that the Democrat donors, the top-level guys, are running from him.
But the question now becomes, how much better off are we going to be with Mitt?
Here's my answer. If it's only on two issues, I'll take Mitt. One issue, taxation. Second issue, national security. Those are the two issues. I'll sleep better at night, and my pocket won't be picked quite as much as it would be under Obama.
And I think you're 100% right.
That's all. I'm always right. I can't give you anything for free today for fear that you'll think I'm plugging my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, which I just did anyway, but thanks for listening. I think I'm going to take a break from it because you all bought it. You know, my novel is out in paperback. I was shocked. I went into the Barnes & Noble the other day, looked for it. I couldn't find it. It's in paperback. So I talked to the lib clerk. I said, do you have a copy of Abuse of Power in paperback? I mean, my own community news, they know who I am. Well, I don't know where it is. She goes to, like, new. I had to find it for under the rack, you know, new paperbacks. But it's very interesting. It was nice to see. It's like 500 pages. Good airplane reading. They did an excerpt of my sequel, which is coming out. Next one will be out next year. Only the villains are not radical Islamists. The next one, the villains are communist Chinese. You know what's going to happen by the time the book comes out. You know it's never going to be a movie. You know it's never going to be a movie because Chinese bought the movie chains. Chinese have invested in Spielberg, Katzenberg, and Datzenberg. So you know it ain't ever happening unless it's an indie, like an indie IFC movie that no one watches. Like 12 people watch it at nighttime, you know. So I'm in Area 52. I'm meeting with a slew of important movie people tomorrow. You heard some of them, but none of them are like Katzenberg, and Datzenberg. These are great actors who I've admired for 30 years, and they love me. They're like secret admirers of Michael Savage. They're not allowed to tell you. I can't even mention their name for fear that they'll never work in the communist town again because there is a blacklist. You know, all the comms give them a blacklist here. So we're having dinner tomorrow night at an Italian restaurant down in Beverly Hills, which I'm looking forward to. I mean, I'm going to have lunch with someone who I'm not going to mention ever. Nice guy, very famous. Loves me. We just, you know what I mean, to give each other like. And then in San Francisco, I don't have any friends, so I come down here occasionally for friends because there's nobody in San Francisco. It's like a death zone. San Francisco, there's nobody alive. I mean, I have listeners, but no friends. It's a different universe. In that's funny. LA, I come down here, I have friends instantly. Call this guy up. Yes, within an hour, 10 minutes, he got a dinner party together with like 12 famous actors. They all want to be with Michael Savage. And the funny part is they have to listen to me on the internet down here. Isn't that an amazing thing? I may move down to L.A. I may move to L.A. I'm sick of San Francisco. What you got up there is like wind and perversion. It's like wind and perversion. All you got is like perversion, psychopaths, wind and perversion. So it's I do love it in the San Francisco area. I love the cool at night. It's like a cemetery. It's like a social cemetery for people who love the country. You know what I'm saying? Where are we? Where are we going with the show now? Where are we going with the show? We're out of time already? Time to cop for a break on the Savage Nation, or time for a call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Call us from everywhere. Minnesota, Jim. Jimbo, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I live one block away from Bobby Zimmerman's growing up house here.
Yes. And what happened?
Well, the way I understand it, he got laughed off the stage at the talent show or something in Hibbing here.
When he was a kid?
Yeah.
Come on, he's a very talented musician and songwriter. But the point is, it doesn't come up to the level of a Presidential Medal of Freedom. I mean, who is Obama pandering to here? You know, that's the issue. Questions for the Savage Nation. When I come back right here on the Savage Nation, I'll be back.
Savage.
Losers, cheaters, six-time users, hanging around the theaters. Girl by the whirlpools, looking for a new fool, don't follow leaders.
Who can listen to the lyrics? I mean, it's easy to read, you know, read something like Aristotle. I mean, I love people listen to lyrics for some secret insight. What do you have to listen for? Go read somebody who's a genius. What do you have to listen to music to get some message? Go read a novel, you know, read some philosophy. Read Schopenhauer if you want a message. Don't listen to Bob Dylan. Other honorees included Dolores Huerta, community organizer. Listen to what he says. He says, Obama says, I remember in college listening to Bob Dylan and my world opening up because he captured something about this country that was so vital. And he says, I think about Dolores Huerta, reading about her when I was starting off as an organizer. Why don't you give one to Saul Alinsky? How about the Saul Alinsky, Willie Sutton, the bank robber? Past recipients include Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, a wonderful, fine human being, stabbed the American troops in the back. Now he's a lobbyist for China. How do you give a Presidential Medal of Freedom to Madeleine Albright, who is a lobbyist for China? The worst Secretary of State in history, a woman who worshipped Kim Jong-il, wrote a book called Pins about her legs. The woman is so psychotic, Madeleine Albright, that she writes an autobiography called Pins about her legs. These are legs that you can vomit. If you looked at legs like that, they were known as piano legs. Sexy. Madeleine Albright I'm talking about. She writes a biography about herself, autobiography called Pins, saying world leaders were falling over. Ah, like fell over me. You can't believe Kim Jong-il went to the... Ah. What he would have done for me. He had 30,000 slaves, I mean Koreans. They danced for me when I'm, unbelievable. And I'm vetting it, but this gets a Presidential Medal of Freedom. It's like giving it to Greece because of the Doric columns. Like, why don't you give it to Greece because somebody invented, created Doric columns 2,000 years ago. 1-800-449. The tuna now you worried about? Fukushima radiation seen in tuna. No more sushi?
Ahi, mahi.
Poor fish, because it got like a cute name. People have almost wiped the species out. What was it called? What was it if it was called like ugly fish? You can say, I want ugly fish? And you go, ahi. It's like child. You think you're doing something good for you. I'll have mahi. It's a fish, man. You're killing fish. Looks like my grandmother, look, Bob Dylan. They get more feminine as they get older, like female. The female genes come out. Looks like an old Jewish lady, like an apron.
Seven.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today, everybody from Bruce Springsteen to U2 owes Bob a debt of gratitude. There is not a bigger giant in the history of American music. All these years later, he's still chasing that sound, still searching for a little bit of truth. And I have to say that I am a really big fan.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place.
So our president has given the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the top civilian honor, to Bob Dylan and to others, including Dolores Huerta. Now, most of you don't know who Dolores Huerta is. Along with Cesar Chavez, she co-founded the United Farm Workers Union, the UFW. She is also the winner of the Eugene V. Debs Foundation Outstanding American Award. Now, the EVD, Eugene V. Debs was a noted communist. Need I say more? The woman is a lifetime labor organizer, a lifetime anti-capitalist. In other words, she's right up Obama's alley. And that is why she was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom, along with others like Bob Dylan, who have always sung anti-establishment tunes. 1-800-449-8255. What question am I going to ask you? Have we beaten this to death? Shall I move on? We could go on to other topics. The cannibalism in Miami is a horrible story. Bath salts triggered South Beach cannibal. What was that about? I was on Drudge over the weekend, like Memorial Day. I try not to look at the internet for 3 days, 4 days. Like I peek in. It's like looking into a horror house. Like turn the computer on. Like, I'm not going to get addicted. Not going to get locked in. I'll just peek headlines. Causeway cannibal identified. Drug possibly involved. Zombie. What are they taking? What kind of drug is this? What is this drug? Naked men eating each other's faces? Street drug called bath salts? The new LSD? What is this drug? The head, the brain becomes cooked? States of delirium? The guy becomes like a monster strength-wise? Six security officers to restrain people who are 150 pounds? What is this drug? What is this drug? Eating a person's face? Street drug called bath salts? I mean, the country was bad enough. Now we're devolving to cannibalism. We're reverting to cannibalism. When you consider the original pioneers to California, they ate each other. So we are reverting to cannibalism. But don't go to Emigrant Pass in the High Sierra. I think about cannibalism. You're not supposed to look ski lifts, you know, Playboy bunnies. You know, you're supposed to, when you see snow, you're supposed to have positive imagery. Nice, happy women in the, you know, bunny uniforms having a cocktail with you on a rug. But every time I go over the, like, Highway 80 over the Emigrant Pass, I think of cannibalism. I don't know about you. So, I mean, like, yes, we're reverting. We're devolving back to cannibalism. Police official says we've seen three or four cases like this. Okay, what jokes can you tell about that? Nothing. Obama honors Bob Dylan, other heroes for cultural impact. Is Bob Dylan a hero? Bob Dylan a hero? I mean, he's talented, but is he a hero? Isn't that a slap in the face to boys who died for America? Isn't a slap in the face to guys who came on without legs and eyes and arms? Why would he give it to Bob Dylan? First of all, this is not good for Bob Dylan's career. I'm going to tell you right now. He's got 50% of his record sales are going to die off. I can guarantee you. You know what happened when, what's her name? That woman who lost a lot of weight on television. She was fat, then she became thin. Then she created her own network. I forget her name. I'm supposed to know it. Oprah Winfrey. I know it's going to like, that was a big insult the way I did it. It was on purpose. Oprah Winfrey starts her own network. She then becomes a shill for Obama, and her network collapses. She loses $300 million of her own money. Why? Because people could not believe she went in the tank for Obama, and 50% of her audience said enough is enough. This is the end of Bob Dylan's record career. 50% of the people who bought his records who have grown up and are no longer communists are going to say, what? He's linked with this guy? That's the he's going to have to work the Catskills and the old age homes in Boca Raton. I mean, after this, it's going to be casinos, like the few casinos left in Monticello, along with, the Balloon Man. And then he's going to work like Century Village. And now, ladies and gentlemen, direct from Minneapolis and Los Angeles, Bobby Zimmerman. Yeah. Wheelchair, the transfusion tree. Who is he? He's a nice Jewish boy. What does he do? He sings. Is he the synagogue? What does he do? What kind of stuff with the sunglasses? What is he, a hophead? Why does he wear the glasses like that in a place like this? With nice women. What is it? What has he ever heard of Zimmerman? What does he do? He plays a guitar? Huh? He couldn't make a living? He couldn't become a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, but he had to have a guitar. He didn't have the brains for school? I'm having a good time. What am I supposed to do here? Get everything serious? Trump is in Las Vegas tonight with Romney at a fundraiser. They didn't invite me. I would have given him like $10. I would have given Romney a $10 bill, same as I give like a baggage handler. He doesn't need my money. He's rolling in Wall Street money now. Like Wall Street doesn't know which side to back. Whoever they think is going to win, like, okay, we'll back them both. Trump's back in the news. I guess he won't come on the show now that he's big in the news again. The only good news, I said in the first hour, is the biggest law firm in America, 1,300 firms, went under. So when I say it again, Dewey and LaBeouf, 1,300 law firms filed for Chapter 11, I want you to applaud. Ready? The law firm Dewey and LaBeouf, LLP, 1,300 firms, 300 partners, has just filed for bankruptcy. Wow, that's good. That's such good news. I wonder why. Why are lawyers going broke? Could be. Why are lawyers the most hated of all professions? They even hate themselves for what they do to people. But my lawyer's good. The only good lawyer in America is my lawyer. Everybody else's lawyer is evil and no good. Dewey's failure is rocking the industry in the sense that most firms are saying to themselves, if Dewey could go down, could we? Yes. Yes, if Greece could go down, Italy could go down, America could go down. Yes, a law firm could go down, especially since they thrive on cheating people and robbing their money. firm shut down, 300 partners. What are they going to do now, all these partners? Set up their own firm? 1,450 attorneys at its peak. We had a distant relative who went to Harvard Law School. Did I tell you this story? A shorty, a side note. Well, Obama's alma mater. When she graduated as a senior, her professor said to her in that May of that year, she graduated, remember, as a new law graduate, look for your first cases within your family. You hear this? In other words, rob someone in your family when you get out. That's the first that they taught him at Harvard. Look for your first cases within your family. See who you can, you know, sue for money. Evil. 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 That's why the jails are full of people. A lot of people are in jails because they got even with their lawyers. That's right. Wall Street rises on Greek bets. Facebook falls 10%. Where's Zuckerberg? He's going to have to run to Greece if there's no reciprocity. No, there's a couple of countries he can go to. He can go to Brazil. They can't extradite him. He can move there. I got a lot of money. He can move to Brazil, get a nice apartment in Ipanema. Well, he's going to have to flee. There's no question. It's like 19th century French stock markets, not like the Boers, where they're like investing in cattle futures and like rigging it up. They were all infested with like smallpox. They found it like the hides were bad. I mean, that's like Facebook. It's like bad hides that they were selling, you know, in the Minneapolis Stock Exchange in 1814. Unbelievable to me. How come they haven't put him away yet? I'm serious. It's unbelievable. You talk about con men. This is unbelievable. I don't like young guys who are like rich with billionaires. They wear undershirts. When I see a rich guy in an undershirt, I know he's a crook. I don't go for that act. Oh, yeah, we're just, we're down with the people. Yeah, yeah, we just wear undershirts. Yeah, we're not into like pomp and circumstance. We just wear undershirts. I don't like that look. I also don't like photographers at press briefings in undershirts and disgusting dirty pants with tags hanging around on the floor. I looked at like in Europe, they still make them wear like suits and ties. I mean, if you're at an event as a press member of the press, dress like a member of the press, not like some degenerate dirtbag at a rock concert who's taking Special K. What are you wearing an undershirt for at an event? What are you trying to prove? I don't get that. How do they let him in there? I mean, I'm going to put in a dress code in the White House. I don't care who the guy is. Why don't you let a photographer in dirty shirts? Facebook. I can't even say it. Facebook continues. Facebook free fall continues. Stock sinks below $29. Worst IPO in a decade. What a shame he is. What a shame to the people. Look what he did to the world. Another one's like, there's no difference between him and Madoff. To me, it's another Madoff game. Oh, yes, he created a product. That's true. Idiots like the, like, you know, self-masturbation moving on Facebook. I finally went on my Facebook account and sent out a message over the weekend, like, you know, I got answers like in 2 seconds from people. They were on it like on Friday, Saturday, were on their Facebook. I know what they were on it for. I don't know what it's for even. It's like you send the message. It's like a telegram. You see, if you're not sending naked pictures of yourself, what are you doing on Facebook? It's like women on their cell phones. Like, yeah, I went to the beauty parlor. Everyone's like a star. Real Housewives of fill in the blank. I'll tell you, those pedicures are not what they used to be. Oh, yeah, no, Connie, once Connie left the parlor. That's what you hear, like, on a cell phone. It's unbelievable. No, the best one now is the Koreans are doing the best nails, no question about it. That's what men died for? The freedom to tell you about, like, nail parlors, pedicures? I don't understand it. It's crazy. Like, they sit there and, like, move their finger around on something, and they don't understand what it looks like to someone from Brobbingdang, or, like, I'm visiting from Mars looking in. It looks like it's masturbatory. They're just moving their finger around us. I'm not trying to be lewd. I'm trying to tell you what this is. I'm a Freudian, by the way. I've been a Freudian since I went to college. The greatest mind in the history of psychiatry, Sigmund Freud. I read Freud, all of Freud. I read all of Jung. I read all of Adler. So I know what I'm talking about. Freud was the greatest genius in the history of psychiatry. And he knew what the death wish was. He also knew what masturbation was, mental masturbation. And I'm telling on the screen, I think they're accomplishing something. Wasting their time. Here's a woman dying to meet a guy. If the perfect man came along, she wouldn't even talk to him because she's looking for him inside the, you know what I'm saying, the Palm Pilot, whatever it was, whatever they call it today. Look what happened to BlackBerry. Out of business, basically out of business. It was so hot a few years. Things change rapidly. What if you had BlackBerry stock? Man, you'd be in some trouble. Remember, people would fight over a BlackBerry 10 years ago. Oh, I want a BlackBerry. Now nobody wants it. Ugh, You have a BlackBerry? Ugh. You have a BlackBerry? You're out of date now. I don't use that. No, I have an iPhone. Oh, yeah, there's pictures of me getting a pedicure. There's a picture of me getting a manicure. There's a picture of me getting a headicure. Here's a picture of me getting a nosicure, a lipicure, a liposuction. Yes, here I am. Shock report, 40% of social media accounts are spammers. No kidding, spammers. It's like faxes you didn't ask for. Imagine how old-fashioned a fax is. Imagine if you don't even say you have a fax machine at home. You, like, hide it. Oh, yeah, what do you have at home? I have a fax. Ugh. It's like a Royal Portable. Clint Eastwood daughter under fire after destroying 100,000 handbag for art. He has a daughter? A narcissist like Clint Eastwood would have a daughter? How? How could act? He's another one. He's a great. Why don't you give him the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Francesca Eastwood in Twitter and Facebook storm of setting fire to Crocodile Hermes Birkin bag in the name of art. Oh, please. Please. What do you do if you're Clint Eastwood's daughter but set a Hermes bag on fire? What else can you? You can set your toes on fire. That's about all you could possibly do for attention these days. All right, that's that. What else does she do? Nothing. My day, you looked up to guys like Jonas Salk, Albert Schweitzer. You know, those were my heroes. Now it's like someone who sets a bag on fire. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Usually Madeline does the talking. Once in a while, she lets her jewelry do the talking. When Saddam Hussein called her a snake, she wore a serpent on her lapel the next time she visited Baghdad. When Slobodan Milosevic referred to her
as the worst, goat. The worst woman in American political history, Madeleine Albright, a woman who took the side of radical Islamists over Christians in Serbia, a woman who salivated as all of the bridges over the Danube River were destroyed by NATO airplanes, which were really U.S. airplanes, repainted with NATO markings. A woman who sat with Kim Jong-il, a dictator, as you know, of North Korea, where 35,000 North Koreans were forced to dance for her, is given the Presidential Medal of Freedom and glorified by Sharpton's friend Obama. That's right, Al Sharpton. Why doesn't he give Al Sharpton the Presidential Medal of Freedom for Freddie's Fashion Mart fire? That'd be a good one, or for the Tawana Brawley incident. It's astounding. It's the world upside down. How the man has anyone voting for him is astonishing to show you how far we've fallen as a nation. People are shaking their heads saying, how can anyone vote for this con man communist? How? How? Look who he associates with. The lowest, the most communistic. How? 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 Me, Michael. How? New York City, WR. Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I just want to tell you, I think that you've got Bob Dylan all wrong, or your idea of him is all wrong. You often talk about how the liberal establishment sort of took Jack Kerouac and made him one of their heroes. Bob Dylan turned his back on any sort of liberal or left-wing leanings he may have had back in 1963.
I'm aware of that, but wait a minute. That is not why Obama gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He didn't give it to him because he turned his back on left-wingism. He gave it to him because his songs and music glorify everything anti-American.
That is not the case. That's what I'm trying to tell.
Excuse me. Can you tell me one song Bob Dylan has written since the 60s that is patriotic, that Obama would worship?
Well, why don't you play a song from 1983 from his Infidels album called Neighborhood Bully, which is the only Zionist song in rock history.
Wait a minute. So you're arguing, let me see if I follow your thinking. You're arguing that Obama gave Bob Dylan this award because he's a Zionist?
No, Obama doesn't. Obama gave him the award just because he wants to be on television with these stars and make another.
Right, so we don't have to argue with each other just because for argument's sake. But the fact of the matter is, you know that Obama is glorifying Dylan because his lyrics are all basically labor movement, anti-American lyrics.
Savage.
But I would not feel so
conservative. That's why he gave him the award. That's why he influenced the president. Everyone's got to get stoned. What are you talking about? Can't open the file. Another file. It's the world's upside down. After a communist revolution, the laundress has become surgeons. The surgeons are thrown into the laundry. That's what we got going on today. You got writer's block? I never had writer's block. I don't have speaker's block. No such thing as writer's block. It's for people who have no brains. What do you mean writer's block? A lot of people say, oh, I got writer's block. Because we got nothing to say. Don't be a writer. Just become a politician. If you can't do that, then become a teacher. There's always a job for you. Nothing wrong with it. I can't open this. I was going to read this to you, but I can't break it out. Maybe this will open it up. My publisher sent me the cities where the books sold the most. I wanted to get a breakout of where the number one, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. But I can't download it. It's a wrong file or whatever. You know what I mean? City by city, like where my book has sold the most. New York City, number one, as you'd expect. Number two, San Francisco, Sacramento, number two. Then, not in order now. Houston, Texas, big audience. Then the Fort Lauderdale area, you know, Century Village crowd. Even though they're liberals, they like me. They're confused people. They vote in several different districts, but they like me. Something about me. That's another audience. So if I do a lecture tour, I'm thinking of doing a 2012 lecture tour. You'll have to go to my website to find out more about it. Health permitting, et cetera. In 2012, you're going to probably see a venue where I'll be. You know, it'll be in those cities if I pull this off. It'll be New York, somewhere in New York. You know, like, it could be New Jersey instead of New York. I'm not allowed to do in New York per se because Bloomberg would probably say that the garbage cans are not politically, you know, appropriate or whatever. So I'll do a new New York lecture. I'll do San Francisco, you know, like Marin County Civic Center. Because then I can get people from all around there. Then Houston, Texas, I'll meet my Texas audience. Fort Lauderdale, maybe I can get in for nothing, you know? Could I give a bargain? Can I trade you a class ring from Jamaica High School and get a discount on a ticket? And then I'll do, that's it, like five a year I think I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do, I think. Why do anything else? York, Pennsylvania. Jeffrey, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing tonight? I am what you would consider an atheist, and I'm what you would call left-wing nut job most of the time. But I also don't believe that this country is going in the right direction in any way, shape, or form. And I've been listening to you for the past on and off for the last year, and I have to say I agree with what you say a good 95% of the time.
So wait, that means I'm a left-wing atheist because you agree with me? I don't follow this.
No. A lot of your views, whether it's coming from the right, the left side or the right side, you're absolutely right. It should at this juncture in the country, it shouldn't matter what side is saying it, as long as it's needed to be said and it is the right thing. Either side anymore has no idea what they're doing or any type of direction. It's basically just one. It's two parties. It's supposedly two parties, but it's one.
No, it's a one-party system. It's the Demokins and Republicrats. That's what I called it when I started in radio in 1994. We know it's a one-party system. It's like. Look, it's like Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi. Which do you prefer? I mean, that's what it comes down to. You vote for the Democrats, you get a little more communism. You vote for the Republicans, you get a little more capitalism. But fundamentally, it's the same country.
Well, you get some capitalism, but it's welfare capitalism because if a corporation needs bailed out, no problem, let's do that. But I also...
Well, hold it. Let's not generically say corporations. You mean General Electric and the other corporations who have... favorable tax laws written for them by themselves and passed by Obama, and they're all listed in trickle-down tyranny. Yes, that's what you mean. Not all corporations are getting a handout.
Not all of them, but there was also ones under Bush and Cheney that got the same.
Absolutely. Of course, you have no argument from me. Thank you for the call, Mr. Atheist. Bath salts, drugs. Ivory Wave, Purple Wave, and Ellis Sky and Bliss, known as bath salts, the cannibalism. What is this stuff? Tells you what it is. MDPV or methylene dioxy. I'll try to sound chemical now. Methylene dioxy pyrovale. Oh, pyrovalerone. Valerone. I have to practice. Latin names are hard. Methylene dioxy pyrovalerone. Although pyrovalerone derivatives are being made by illegal street chemists. No way to test for these substances. More idiocy. Why would anyone take these drugs? What are they going to get out of it? Asia 20 years ago, there's a big monster billboard on the way in from the airport. Drugs are illegal in Malaysia. If you're caught with them, you're going to get the death penalty. They had a very low usage of drugs. Drug dealers did not flock to Malaysia. They did not flock there. They flocked to Brooklyn and Los Angeles. The drug war. The drug war. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to interfere with the not the user. Don't interfere with the user. Go to the source. Okay, public executions would work also. Everybody knows that. But, okay, don't talk about that, man. 1-800-449-8255. We know what that is. Wisconsin Terry, female, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
You know, doctor, I think that the difference between you and the rest of existence is that you always deal in the realm of reality.
Yes,
and
I do.
And when it comes to Barack and our president, he doesn't deal in the realm of reality. It's get the word out first and then have people believe.
Right. He was given a fake Nobel Prize the minute he became president for no reason other than he was the president and a communist. So therefore, if he could get a Nobel Prize for doing nothing, he could give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Bob Dylan.
Bingo. You've got it. This is
yeah, you know, it's hard living in my world. I don't take medication, although I suffer tremendously. Depression, anguish, but I work through it. I don't need medication. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'd rather see things as they are. I'd rather live in kind of pain than be numb. I swear to God, that's the truth. I work through it. I mean, you find ways to get through these things. You hear me as an energetic guy on the show and this and that. I got a great sense of humor. But the fact of the matter is, I have suffered since I'm 5 years old because of family issues, because of my own personality, because of ancestral memory issues, because of bad gefilte fish and horrible seltzer. And the fact of the matter is, you learn to live with it. You don't have to numb yourself in order to get through it. You don't need medication. You create. You take the angst and you create with it. That's what you do with it. You don't numb it out of you. That's why there's so little creativity in America. You confuse mental masturbation like using an iPhone with doing something because you're moving something around on a screen. You're not doing anything. You're wasting your time. You just think you're doing something. It makes you think you're doing. It's like, it reminds me of smokers. I think that people who use iPhones incessantly are basically like they have a smoker's addiction. They can't put the cigarette down. When I was 18 years old, I met a European girlfriend, and I didn't know how to like handle myself in public. So she said, "Here, take a cigarette. It'll give you something to do with your hands." I was on my big trip to Europe, right? "Here, take a cigarette." She said, "It'll give you something to do with your hands." So I became a smoker at that time. It's the same thing with the iPhones. Like, people are nervous. They're like moving their hand around to make themselves look important, and they got something to do. What are they doing? What are they doing? You think you're accomplishing something. That's why society is so sad now. There's almost no inventions, no creativity to speak of. Look at Zuckerberg. You confused him with some genius, right? Look what you got for it. To me, a Madoff. It's another Madoff. A Madoff. Another Madoff. A Madoff with an undershirt. At least Madoff had the decency to wear a suit and tie while he was robbing people. These guys don't even have the sense to wear any like haberdashers. It's like buy an undershirt like from a department store. They think that's haberdashery. That's what sells now to the idiots who use iPhones. 1-800-449. What's with the birther again? They won't let it go. All right. See, that's like a dead issue. Even if it's true, even if they came out definitively, birth certificate from Kenya, with like a picture of him being born in the hospital upside down, it wouldn't matter. People would say, so what? You don't understand something. Nothing would happen. The Republicans wouldn't do anything about it. Why are you beating this up? The election's coming up. Just vote against them. That's all. What, are you going to impeach him now? 6 months before an election? Can't you go on to something new? Like the things he actually did that you know he did? 1-800-449-8255. Great callers. Great callers. What is this, cannibals? I don't want to talk about cannibalism. It's a horrible story. Awful. Naked, eating each other on a bridge? Good God. How much lower does the country go? Where does this end? Indianapolis, Patrick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Both candidates are very anti-personal freedoms, I believe. Now, most of the time I support everything you say for the most part. I'm very conservative, but I want to know where this anti-marijuana rhetoric comes from all the time.
I'm glad you asked, because marijuana is the most dangerous drug of all, for one reason, because people think it's benign. Let me explain. This is not an ethical issue. It is not a moral issue to me at all. It's not a moral or ethical issue. It's a medical issue. Marijuana has a lot of toxicants in it, and people are under the mistaken notion that because it's natural, it's healthful. You have to understand that there are toxicants in marijuana smoke that are that far exceed the amounts from tobacco smoke. It's basically a public health warning.
My question to you, though, specifically...
I don't care if you smoke... Listen, I don't care if you want to poison your lungs and give yourself cancer, but you should be aware that you're giving yourself lung cancer.
But you're a bioscientist. You have your PhD in plants, am I right?
Yes, sir.
So, and I respect education more than almost anything in the whole world. So my question to you, and especially for the people out there, everybody knows that you're against marijuana and smoking of it, but what are the actual side effects this plant produces?
I didn't say side effects. I didn't say side effects. I'm talking about toxicants in marijuana smoke that you are ingesting, such as ammonia. Let's start with a simple one. Ammonia. I mean, a whole list of toxicants that come from marijuana smoke. I don't want people to have the notion that they're smoking something healthful. It is a toxic poison. You will get cancer from smoking marijuana, and you will get it sooner rather than later, and your life will be curtailed. You should know that. That's all.
Absolutely. My question, though, is the cigarette industry has been doing pretty much the same thing for years.
I don't smoke cigarettes. I'm against tobacco. I hate them. I don't like being around it. I hate it. It killed my father. Cigarettes are toxic. But let's not assume that because marijuana is natural. Tobacco's natural also.
Exactly. But why is the government so against one and so for the other?
The government often gets into issues and then gets stuck in them without really knowing why they're stuck in them. I would say this. If you want to legalize marijuana, then the government should sell the marijuana so that you get taxation from it. But I'm opposed to legalizing it for one reason. It's because people will then assume that it's healthful. If the government says it's okay for you to use it, it's not healthful. It's very deadly in terms of toxicants. I mean, I hope I answered your question, because it is it's a pharmacological issue, medical issue, public health issue, not ethical, not moral. Now, having said that, about 20% of the population will have a psychotic episode from the marijuana that's being used today. It's very powerful. It's 10, 20 times stronger than it was in my day. People will have the equivalent of an LSD reaction to it. 20% of people will have a psychotic episode on marijuana. A good percentage don't really get sick from it. They don't get psychotic from marijuana. That's enough already with the marijuana. If you had a Stradivarius brain like I do, it's a terrible drug. Just screws up your strings. But if you're a ukulele mind, it's beautiful if you're a ukulele with one string in your head. That's all. Pots for tots, man. So there it is. I don't want to talk about it. Look it up. Toxicants found in marijuana smoke. You'll find all you want on the internet. Or the hand that doesn't work. Went to his university, came home, can't find a job. It's too good for anything. He's still looking. He's on his iPhone looking for a job. Can't find a job all day long, but at night he goes out to a party or to a club with your money. 28 years old. That's what he got. The iPhones. He got him an iPhone. The hair nets, the hair doesn't get out of place. Look, I'm cynical. I was a cynic at 5 years old. It's the way I survive. I think cynicism is it's a philosophy, by the way. The cynics were Greek philosophers. You understand that? They were right, too. Look where Greece is today. They knew where it was going. Look at the cynics. Thousands of years ago, they knew where Greece would go. What do they produce in Greece? People say to me, Greece is this, Greece that. And I ask them, what does Greece produce? They don't know. No one knows. Dolmas. Dolmas, an olive. They don't make anything. No wonder they're going broke. There's no natural resources. Rennet, sheep rennet. Like, they make sheep cheese. I happen to like feta cheese. Most of the feta cheese in America is fake. If you're allergic to cow dairy as I am, watch out for that feta. Oh, yeah, feta cheese this, feta cheese that. If you look at it, it's cow's milk with a little sheep milk in it. I can eat pure sheep milk. I never get any reaction to it. Would you believe it? Like sheep yogurt, I like sheep milk. But cow, I don't know. Me and a cow don't get along. I like goats. I like sheeps. I like a sheep. I like a goat milk. I don't even like dairy, but I need it for calcium once in a while. What I'm saying is, what does Greece produce? A black olive they make. I don't know what they make. I'm not trying to knock the Greek people. They gave us philosophy. They gave us great architecture. But that was a while ago. It's like the French. What'd they give us? Since Napoleon, nothing. Nothing's come out of France since Napoleon. And even that was overrated. All he did was kill people. And he knocked out most of the whole generation was killed in the retreat from Russia. Another, like a Hitler, the French Hitler. People don't want to hear that. It is true he had certain good points. So they exile him to Elba, Corsica. They get rid of the guy. You know what to do with him. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I mean, you look at headlines written by the lunatics, the drug addicts at Associated Press. Cop shoots man eating another's face. What's the implication? The cop was wrong? It was his lifestyle choice? He just liked to engage in cannibalism? It was his lifestyle choice and he wanted to eat the other man's face? And it was like consensual? The cop was wrong and should be arrested? Who writes this garbage? It's unbelievable to me. Barbara, New York on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi. I love your sense of humor. I wish you'd come out with a book called Sentimentally Savage. The line about the bad gefilte fish and the seltzer really made me laugh. Every now and then, you absolutely must laugh or you can't cope.
I learned to be funny as a kid or I would have died a long time ago.
Really, I enjoy the stories about your dad. What about
everybody Nancy? Likes that the antiques market, the guy in the bronzes, the boy in the basement. It's all coming out in December. Sorry to tell you, great book called Train Tracks and all my childhood stories.
Really, not Sentimentally Savage. Put it.
No. Let's not confuse the listeners. It's going to be called Train Tracks, so I can get the non-seltzer drinkers from elsewhere who don't even know me to buy it. It's like a picture of a train with snow. I'm not even on the cover. They're hiding me. The publisher's hiding me from the cover.
A lot of fun. No, I'm sort of in your age bracket.
What, you're 45?
No. I'm sort of in
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. No, because in a minute it's going to get too personal. It's going to get very, when they start in with I'm your age bracket, I grew up in the school, and you don't want to anyone. You don't want to give away too much. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Tremendous caller base on the Savage Nation. Annette, Tucson, Arizona, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, I was raised in Southern California in the 70s in a hippie family commune, and I have rebelled by becoming a Christian conservative.
Absolutely. And by the way, this is very interesting. I would wager a bet that guys like Sean Penn, who are such phony leftists, who have children, I would wager a bet that the children of people like that are going to be conservative, at least one of two.
I got to tell you, my dad died of pancreatic cancer. He smoked dope every night of his life.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's related because there are people who die of pancreatic cancer who never smoked, though. But the fact of the matter is you became a rebel to the rebels, and in your rebellion, you became a patriotic American, correct?
Exactly. And my saying is I'd rather have a harsh, cold reality than a fuzzy fantasy because I was raised
with that. Oh, amen. Hey, should I start a commune like in my lady, just like buy a place and people could come up there and give away their life's possessions to me? And I don't want anything from anybody. No, I've thought about it, like what my next incarnation should be in life. You see, people like you would join, wouldn't you? Dead, hung up already. Gone, I knew it. The minute I said commune, she hung. She got scared. Her doctor hung up for her. It took her like, okay, you got to hang up now, Barbara. You can't listen to him anymore. He's very dangerous to your survival. Very dangerous for your psychological survival, Barbara. They gave it like the quarter to make the call from the home up in Reedland, Oregon. All right, you can call that talk show. Sure, if you feel good doing it, certainly. Yes, you can invent the parents. You can invent your background. Certainly, Barbara, that's okay. The minute I said commune, click, gone. They hung it right up.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
now you need to listen to some of this audio, including MSNBC host, left-wing communist fascist, and the GOPAC tick, Newt Gingrich, talking about their favorite animals.
I love the natural world. I love animals, whether they're, you know, out in the wild. I love animals in zoos. I love paleontology.
We're going to make news now. Best zoo in the country.
Oh, San Diego.
Best for big animals, all kinds of animals.
Right, if you take the Wild Animal Park and the downtown zoo,
okay,
it's just huge.
Best animal. Favorite animal to go watch.
Favorite animal to go watch. Hard to say. Maybe elephants.
That's me too.
Amazing.
Me too. I'm with
they're just remarkable.
Let's see. Do you like the Reptile House? Why do you like the Reptile House?
Because they're fascinating.
Most people are afraid.
They're astonishingly successful. They do it in a totally different way than we do, and they've been successful for a very long time.
Favorite snake?
Probably a python.
Why? It's big, a constrictor, right?
Big and passive.
Constrictor?
Yeah, it's
you like the constrictor aspect of it?
No, I just think they're very successful.
You like that it eats cows whole?
They don't eat cows whole.
What about a mamba? I would have thought you'd like a black mamba. They go 30 miles an hour. They attack your nervous system. You got 15 minutes to live.
You have a more ruthless approach to politics than I do.
Anyway, thank you.
Now listen to Hillary Clinton saying that no matter what the outcome is in Egypt, we will continue to support them. So it seems that they wanted the Islamists to win.
Today in Egypt, we are seeing in real time, as Egyptians are going to the polls to determine for the first time in their history who their leaders will be. Whatever the outcome of the election, the Egyptian people will keep striving to achieve their aspirations, and as they do, we will continue to support them. We will support people everywhere who seek the same, men and women who want to speak, worship, associate, love the way they choose. We will defend their rights, not just on the day we issue these reports, but every day. Where women have been and continue to be marginalized, we're helping them become full partners in their governments and economies. Where LGBT people are mistreated and discriminated against, we're working to bring them into full participation in their societies.
Now you need to hear the so-called conservative Marco Rubio talking about illegal immigration. I told you, the fix is in.
I know that there are some Democrats, especially Democratic political operatives, that would rather not solve the immigration issue. In their mind, they would rather leave it unsolved so they can use it for campaign season. They enjoy the fact that they can go back every 2 years and campaign in Hispanic communities, making unrealistic promises about promised reforms. Then they come here when they control the House, the Senate, the White House. They do nothing about it. And then they use the issue again in 2 years and blame Republicans. There have been Republicans that have not supported some of these immigration reforms. And I think it's incumbent upon the Republican Party not just to say what we're against, but to say what we're for, to be the pro-legal immigration party. And I've been open and consistent in saying that. But I also think we need to recognize that there is a political calculation here among some Democrats. And that calculation is, we're better off not doing anything. Let's leave this as a campaign issue because it helps us. And I think that's unfortunate.
Here are the headlines on michaelsavage.com and everywhere else. Facebook is in a free fall below $29. 40% of social media accounts are spammers. Can you believe this? Trump slashes CNN over CNN's poor ratings. Farrakhan is gloating, saying soon whites will be the minority in a country they took.
It's sad that Mexico lost California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado. All of this was once Mexico. And through trickery, a war was started. See, this is a people that make war and blame the person they're making war on and then take your land. A racist white supremacist must be going crazy, you know? Because for the first time, Hispanic, black, and Asian babies outnumbered white babies. That must be a terrible feeling, to know that in just a few short years, the majority is going to be the minority. And one man, one vote. So we become governor of every state. Well, we give them a few.
Severed foot was sent to Conservative Party headquarters in Canada. Foot and mouth disease from the libs, huh? Biggest collapse of law firm in U.S. history as Dewey and LaBeouf go on the yay! Bath salts triggered South Beach cannibal. You heard about the cannibalism and during the urban weekend?
Oh, yeah. Bath salts. That's what did it.
Urban weekend. What, he ingested bath salts? Okay. We'll let that go. I
guess it's a new kind of LSD they call bath salts.
Really?
Yeah.
Cannibal identified. Fears grow. And here is what's on the home of the Savage Nation, MichaelSavage.com. Family of the hero doctor in Pakistan says, when will America support us? With Obama, the answer is never. McDonald's withdraws a Happy Meal toy that insults Muhammad. Most of the 108 killed in Syria were executed. Obama ducks calls to release his collegiate transcripts. New York City, high taxes, loses 3.4 million residents in 10 years. The biggest migration exodus of any state in the nation. If the president is a former pothead, can the legalization of marijuana be far off? American World War II pilot revered in French Village. MSNBC host uncomfortable calling fallen soldiers heroes.
I feel uncomfortable about the word hero because it seems to me that it is so rhetorically proximate to justifications for more war. And I don't want to obviously desecrate or disrespect the memory of anyone that's fallen. And obviously there are individual circumstances in which there is genuine and tremendous heroism, of, you know, hail of gunfire and rescuing fellow soldiers and things like that. But it seems to me that we marshal this word in a way that is problematic. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
Iranian youth publicly whipped for drinking alcohol. Savage witnesses departure of last U.S. battleship. Great photographs. Was Savage right? Is Obama using the military as a pawn? Have you read Trickle-Down Tyranny? Find out. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Cynthia Nixon marries her partner, dressed as a man. A mother's love for her son, the image of 10 Marines killed in Iraq, Afghanistan in December. The woman painted her son's image on her truck, and nine of his buddies, all killed for what? At a university, the concern is growing that A stands for average. No kidding. After all, isn't everybody equal? Average students are not excellent. They're just average. That's why they're called average. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit. Because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's Blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them. Blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Uncomfortable about the word hero because it seems to me that it is so rhetorically proximate to justifications for more war. And I don't want to obviously desecrate or disrespect the memory of anyone that's fallen. And obviously there are individual circumstances in which there is genuine and tremendous heroism, of, you know, hail of gunfire and rescuing fellow soldiers and things like that. But it seems to me that we marshal this word in a way that is problematic. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
No. I'm going to make a prediction right now. It's all up to God. It's not up to the radio people. It's really up to God. I have a feeling that after the election of 2012, the idea of political talk radio will be over. It'll be dead in the water. But having said that, I will be the only one surviving, or one of the few surviving, on the national syndicated level, because the people want more than just bashing Obama or bashing the Republicans. Sacramento, Shirley, you're next up. Bring back the draft or not?
Bring it back. Bring back the draft immediately.
Why?
Because I think everybody needs to serve it. When you're sending these poor guys over there for 3-4 terms, you need to have a fresher army so that you don't have these kind of incidents happening overseas.
Doesn't it look as if this communist administration doesn't trust their own troops?
It does. I emailed my representative, which is McNerney, who keeps telling me he's for the vets, and I asked him to impeach this guy this morning. I haven't got an answer yet, but I'll get my thing, whether I get all the time, that he's doing a good job and all the other BS that he always tells me. But at least
well,
I'm trying.
All I can say is it's Obama and the liberal politicians around them, the anti-war, lifetime hard left fanatic Leninists around Obama, the college boys and girls who hate the military, hate guns, hate weapons, hate ammunition, especially they hate the Marines. You got to understand something. They hate and distrust the U.S. Marines more so than any other element of the U.S. military. They distrust them for good reason. It's because the U.S. Marines are the last certifiable element of the U.S. military that we can count on. And I'll let it go at that. Let's go to the other callers in this country. Mississippi, Anthony, go ahead on the draft question. You take the opposite point of view. Tell us why. Yeah, Anthony, talk. You're on the radio.
Sorry about that. For me, no on reinstating the draft. My reasons being, I'm in the military myself, and if you reinstate the draft, I see that as forcing people to join the military, and me being in the military, I would much rather serve beside somebody that wants to be here versus somebody that was forced to join the military.
Well, it seemed to work for us in World War II, forcing people into the military. You know that not everybody wanted to be drafted. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I agree to that, and the fact that...
Well, what are we going to do when China, which has 30 million extra men, decides to initiate its muscle against us? What are we going to do, wait for the last minute to reinstitute the draft?
No, I see your point there. I can just foresee that if that happens to happen...
Well, of course, what you're saying makes sense to a great extent, which is that at least with an all-volunteer force, you have people who are, on the face of it, quite patriotic. And when you get a generalized draft, you're not going to have the same pool of patriotic individuals that you would with an all-volunteer force. But this idea of an all-volunteer force was instituted during a time of peace. It certainly isn't working anymore. When you've got men rotated over and over and over and over again, they're being destroyed. They're being destroyed by the evil contracting machine, the military-industrial complex. You win a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Las Vegas, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say that it's a nice theory to say that you want people that are voluntary serving next to you, but it's totally a violation of the Constitution to force servitude in the draft. And the next thing you got is Lincoln killing...
So in other words, you think that during World War II there should have been no draft?
Right. Because you can take...
So in other words, you're in favor of... You would have been in favor of the Nazis winning and dominating the world?
No, but I think Patrick Cannon...
Wait a minute. Excuse me. You can't think from one decision to the next of what your statement would lead to? That we would have no army to protect us? Michael, don't you understand what you're saying?
Michael, you made the assumption that we would have lost World War II if we didn't go there when we did, right?
Excuse me? You mean we would have won World War II without an army?
We would have won it, but we could have delayed our entry. That's been...
Whoa. What are you saying? Let's go back to World War II since we're talking about it. And I'm arguing that without a draft, the Nazis would have been victorious, and we'd all be speaking German, and most of us who would have opposed Hitler would have been lampshades by now. You're saying that we would have won World War II without a draft? How?
Yes, yeah. How by... the facts getting across the ocean to what is actually taking place, and you would have got an influx of voluntary serving people. I mean, that would have been a no-brainer. That was happening.
Wait a minute, sir. You're making idiotic statements that have no validity whatsoever. You're saying we would have had enough men to volunteer to fight Hitler?
Yes. Because
where do you get your information from? Where are you getting this from? This absurd idea.
Well. Do you agree that Patrick Buchanan...
Wait a minute. Don't chuckle. You're having a serious discussion on national radio, and it's not good enough that you chuckle like you're in a barroom.
Okay, I won't chuckle, but Michael, you're getting all elevated when I'm speaking some true facts, which are that you couldn't we could have delayed our entry into World War II and still won it. Do you agree with that? Or do you think we had to get in when we did?
Well, that means you're an idiot in terms of historical, let's say historically blank man. You have no idea what you're talking about. If you had studied World War II as I do, and I'm an amateur historian, I don't claim to be an expert, I can give you at least 10 different events, incidents rather, that had we not won these little battles in time, we would have lost World War II. Let me give you one of them. The Nazis were racing to develop an atom bomb. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Well, you're going to call me an idiot, so I'm going to hang up. Bye-bye.
Okay, have a nice day. Go back to the truck stop and have a nice meat and potatoes. Do me a favor. Yes, I'm going to call you. How could men get on this show and say things like that, that had there been no draft, we would have won World War II? And say it with such authority. You know what this is coming from? I'm sorry to tell you this. This is coming from the diehard Ron Paul voters who have this blind spot called, well, you see, according to the Constitution, the draft is unconstitutional. Therefore, we don't need a draft. That's without thinking to the next step. If you start listening to that neuron-deficient lunatic from Texas, what you're going to wind up with is no currency, no country, and no bread on the table. That's why he has no polling data. That's why he's being why he's losing wherever he appears. Even in the most conservative district, they're not voting for that lunatic. Can't you understand that there's a consequence to your thinking and to your activities? 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We know that the president, Mr. Obama, is perhaps the most radical president in American history. We also know he's dividing the nation and driving us into another economic recession with his tax and spend Democrat liberal policies. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this and much more is CNBC on-air editor Rick Santelli. Rick Santelli, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
What can we learn from our dogs when thinking about and discussing regulation?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm a dog owner and I love my dog, but many times, being the weekend barbecue dude that I am, I'll leave those nice seasoned fillets out on the counter and I'll go fire up and clean the grill, and I come in and those steaks are gone. And my dog is kind of chewing the final little bits with this kind of dog grin on its face. At that point, you get that rolled up newspaper and you smack the dog? No. Why is this important? Because in my opinion, you know, whether it's a banker, whether it's a capitalist of any persuasion, they're all meat eaters. And this is a great thing. I think it's one of the reasons that America has done more in a little over two centuries than any other country or civilization on the planet. And to think that our leaders just don't understand the simplicity of human nature. You don't want to smack that dog that ate the raw meat. What you want to do is you want to control where, first of all, you leave your raw meat, and second, understand what makes that animal tick before you reprimand him. And I think the same could be said for so many of the regulations. You know, take that J.P. Morgan trade and forget for a minute that there is an issue that we don't want any of these trades to end up back on the taxpayer's side of the ledger. If we put that aside a minute, what we end up with is a micromanagement style that completely smacks these dogs, a bunch of regulations or lack of them after we took down Glass-Steagall and left the Enron exemption in 99, where we're just leaving a landscape of raw steaks out there. And of course, the bankers and the entrepreneurs and the quote-unquote Wall Street types are going to eat it. And there isn't anything shocking about that. What's shocking is every time it happens, we don't see the leaders try to amend the type of regulations that they write. Don't hassle entrepreneurs. Learn to kind of harness that energy.
The CBO recently said that if the Bush tax cuts are not extended, we will end up with another recession. Do you agree?
You know, I have a bit of a mixed feeling on this because, to me, first of all, recessions aren't happy times. But to me, I think they're very important kind of purges of bad things that have been stored up and accumulated in the economy. You know, I kind of look at it like that hangover. You know, think about the last time you went to a great wedding reception or a bachelor party and you had a bit too much to drink. Well, your friend's standing next to you, and he runs to the men's room, and he gets sick. And he doesn't have that hangover in the morning like you do for the next 2 days because you didn't. To me, that's what recessions do. And I think we've gotten ourselves in trouble because I think the Federal Reserve has tried to come up with various programs over the years to, in essence, kind of get rid of recessions, and I think it's impossible. The economy needs to kind of purge. So, to answer your question, I think it is possible, whether it's tax cuts or, you know, not doing any additional sugar buzz type spending, that what you arrive at is a time where things do deteriorate a bit. But let's be real here. Whether it's Greece, whether it's Spain, whether it's Portugal, whether it's California, Illinois, or the U.S. in general, sometimes things are going to get a little worse before they get better. See, personally, I like tax cuts because, in my opinion, taking that dollar out of the government's hands and putting it into the private sector is going to make it multiply faster. However, what I don't agree with is calling payroll tax cuts real tax cuts. In my opinion, I look at it this way. You take somebody who doesn't pay federal income tax, and there's, what, close to 50% of the population that doesn't. Well, how do you give those people a tax cut? Well, they had this brainiac idea that you do it via the payroll side. You take part of their contributions away, and I don't call them taxes. I call them contributions. Because when you retire, you are going to pull out benefits. Now, the people that are getting these payroll tax cuts, including myself, of course, you know, my benefits aren't going to suffer. So these programs like Social Security, there's no more trust fund. They basically live hand to mouth. And in that process of hand to mouth, if we stick a third hand in there taking the money, nothing good is going to – that is totally kicking the can down the road. So I like tax cuts, but I don't necessarily like the payroll tax cut.
If you were advising Mitt Romney, what would you do to fix our struggling economy?
Well, I think the first thing I would do is exactly what some of the commercials by the incumbents in the White House are talking about, and that, of course, is, you know, private equity. You know, they come in, sometimes they lose, sometimes people get fired. You know what I call that? I call that creative destruction, and it shouldn't be belittled, it shouldn't be badgered, and it shouldn't be a negative in political ads. It is why we have fared better than some of our European counterparts. Think about some of the countries in Spain. Why aren't they hiring? Because they have this quandary that if you hire a part-time worker, after so many years, you have to make them a full-time worker. It's virtually impossible to fire people in certain countries in the European Union. Okay, so if you're not allowed to fire people, you are going to be much more apprehensive to hire people. And I really think that this analogy works well with Mitt Romney's experience. I think what we need to do is look at unemployment in a different light. We can't subsidize people on unemployment. We need to retrain people. We need to work with industry to do that. There's a lot of trade jobs. USA Today had a wonderful story a couple weeks ago about how there's so many job openings coming up in specialized areas with special skills in manufacturing, certain kinds of welding. You know, these things can have apprentice programs where the government could, you know, get all the leaders of manufacturing and in parts of the industrial economy in a room. Don't badger them. Don't make fun of them. Don't, you know, knock their entrepreneurial instincts to make a profit. What you need to do is work with them. So I think Mitt Romney actually brings exactly the skills we need. You know, I heard the president say, you know, when you're president, you can't look at the country and running the country as a business. And I kind of understand what he means. There's some people that are going to need some help. But we can't have that be the lower link to this chain, the weaker link that needs help. We can't give that side of it all our energy. We need to be concerned, but the real strength of America shouldn't be about inordinately trying to help those that need help. It should be try to further the success ratio so we take in more tax revenues, and these things will work out on their own. Get the government to have a smaller presence, more of a conductor of an orchestra than the orchestra, and work with industry and entrepreneurs in a more positive way. And I think Mitt Romney's experience will translate into that very well.
Well, can you tell us what's going on with this Facebook IPO? It's dropping like a rock. Was it a fixed deal?
You know, I had a young person, you know, I have three daughters, and of course they're all enamored with Facebook, and I had a young person ask me a couple of days before the IPO, you know, what do you think? And my comment, and I don't mean to besmirch in any way Facebook is a business. I just question how they're going to monetize things. But my comment was, and you might have to be older to truly appreciate this, I said there's a very good chance in the beginning is going to be the Edsel of this generation. And I still believe that. You know, to me, whether it's flowers.com in the tech wreck in 99, 2000, I think there's a lot of similarities. I know that when I look at my own daughters, they love and use Facebook a lot, but they're never going to click on ads. They just don't do it. They don't have the patience for it, and they don't want to. So I think there's a lot of question marks there as far as how the exchange handled the IPO. Listen, I don't think it went optimal, but, you know, another form of way to express the positives of capitalism. I don't know that the government needs to call out all these forces to investigate what happened, unless there's disclosure issues, and I understand that. But in the end, this is the way it's supposed to work. If the NASDAQ didn't do a good job, they're going to get less IPOs ahead. That's the way capitalism works. If Morgan Stanley forgetting the disclosure issue and the legalities of that, but just in pricing it too high. If they were a bit too greedy, hey, greed is part of capitalism, okay? And if they're too greedy, then of course their business should drop off and companies of the future probably would be less inclined to use them. That's the way it's supposed to work. We need less tinkering and more automatic pilot, which has served us well.
Rick, what are some safe investments that you would recommend to my audience?
Well, this one's a weird one because when I hear myself say it, I question, you know, whether this is a good recommendation or not. But tangible assets, and that's why, you know, the collectible markets, the art market, the diamond market are doing so well. I think when you look at the people in the world, the citizens of the United States or around the globe that have capital to invest, that they're very disinclined to be putting it in any type of fiat financial asset, any form of paper. We do see that things like treasuries and gilts in the UK and bonds in the European Union are doing very well because they're heavily sponsored, actually beyond any reality of their value. But that's more of a collateral issue. These financial institutions need to hold something. They can't, you know, take the recommendation I'm about to give you for more retail-minded. But my notion would be selective real estate, maybe unimproved property like empty lots, things along those lines. And I know gold has gotten a bad name, and I'm a big Ayn Rander, but I don't know that gold should be viewed as an investment for the kind of the end of the financial world. I just think that it will, year in, year out, have lots of volatility, but I think it will hold its value better than fiat paper will while we go through the next several years of this ongoing crisis, because truly, believe me, what's going on in Europe isn't going to be fixed anytime soon. So a lot of the post-08 epicenter of the credit crisis are going to continue to resonate for years and years. And I think real estate has gotten beaten up, and I think you have to be selective and not look for significant appreciation in the near term. But that's okay. I think some of those non-financial assets will be good markers on the roulette table of investing.
Rick Santelli, thanks for joining us again on the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, thanks for having me. And, of course, please tune in. I think periodically I will have more of these segments that you'll like. I know that you like the one today with raw meat being a dog lover.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Why is it that the Tea Party has become silent? There was an election in 2010. It was a mandate on Obama. They lost everywhere across the nation with one or two exceptions. There was already an election. Obama's policies were voted out. So now where's the Tea Party? Well, they've been intimidated by the Congressional Black Caucus's hate. Then they were intimidated by the union who said, let's take them out. Now we're getting report after report that agents are running around taking pictures of their license plates. So let me read to you from Chapter 5 of Trickle-Down Tyranny. Red October 2011, Obama's Communist Revolution. You see, you got to understand something. This is the last nonfiction book I'm going to write on politics. So it's a no-holds-barred. If you ever bought a book of mine, this is the last document you're going to need. It's a do-or-die situation. Either you vote this man out or there's going to be no freedom of the press in this country, as sure as I'm sitting here. Why do I say that? Because already the publishers are afraid to publish conservatives. They're terrified. They're intimidated at every turn by this administration. Tax breaks, access, you name it. They don't have to pass a fairness doctrine to kill the voices of the conservatives in radio. You know that, don't you? So let me read a line or two for you. You ready for this? Obama has made it clear that he hates the Tea Party. Can it be any clearer than that? Does that come as a surprise to you? The Tea Party is the American middle class. Of course the president hates them. They're the bourgeoisie that every socialist hates. They're the people who work for a living, start companies, employ other people. They're the people who pay the taxes Obama squanders. In other words, they're dangerous to Obama's October Revolution. Their economic success has got to be shut down. Obama is targeting the middle class so the big bankers could care less what he says about them or about the unwashed, unshaven, uneducated vermin who think they're promoting the downfall of the rich. Obama's tax the rich scheme is aimed at people who are far from wealthy, but who are nonetheless already taxed at a rate near 40%. It doesn't affect the truly rich, who are much more concerned with the capital gains tax. That's because they know enough not to take their money as income, but in other forms that are not taxed as income. Do you think Warren Buffett is worried about paying income tax? Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, earned nearly $63 million in 2010, of which about $40 million was taxable. He paid less than $7 million to the IRS, a 17.4% tax rate. He's advocating that people who make $1 million annually should be taxed at the highest rate. And Obama is going to take that definition of millionaire down to people earning $200,000 annually. I mean, this is just a hint of what's in my book. I don't write books with empty pages. I'm not the wall banger. I'm not the leprechaun. I don't just put my picture on the cover and empty pages in between with a picture of me with a sweater. I write Persian miniatures. Every sentence matters. Every word matters. I'm a writer. I started as a writer. I'll die as a writer. This is my life in this book. I put everything in this book. It's the last chance we have. It's the last barricade we have against these barbarians who are destroying this country. This is what you need to hear from this is what you really need to hear from Romney. This is what you needed to hear from Romney. Instead, you get a soft shoe treatment from the elevator man. A soft shoe act from him and Mrs. Romney from the elevator man. You hear? What do you expect from a two-party system where there's no pee underneath the pod? What do you expect from two gangs that are robbing us blind? Are you kidding me? You think I didn't know it? I knew it years ago when I saw Pat Buchanan, who's sitting there weeping about being thrown off television, when I heard that he got in his Lincoln Navigator after a show, and the very people he was pretending to argue with, he went to dinner with and had a drink with, I said, that's the end of the road for me. Who does he think he's kidding? The guy was an insider. He was a speechwriter. Then the minute he loses his TV show, boo-hoo, they're out to get me. Boo-hoo, they're out to get me. Where was Pat Buchanan when I was banned in Britain? Nowhere. Why? Because I'm an outsider. I'm the true outsider. I don't belong to either party. I belong to the people. I'm a product of the people. I'm a proud product of the people. My father came here, and you know what he did as an immigrant? I'm not ashamed to say it. He sold things out of a push cart. Shall I say it to you again? I don't have to pretend we were poor. My father sold things out of a push cart on the Lower East Side of New York to scrape together enough money to open up his own stall in a market. So don't tell me I don't know anything about the American way. I wasn't born to a silver spoon the way Obama was. I didn't have people sending me to college. I didn't have secret money putting me through Harvard. I had to fight for everything I have. I had to scrape every dollar out of the earth that I have. That's who I am. Am I proud of it? No, it's just who I am. I'm not proud or unproud. It's what it is. I had to survive, so I survive. I never took a dime from anybody. And I've given more than I've taken. And anybody who's ever worked with me has profited from it. That's all there is to it. So what can I say to you? I see a country going to pieces. I see an illegitimate presidency. I see an illegitimate administration. I see an illegitimate media. And so I scream from a rooftop on this radio show. To what effect? To what end? To what avail, I ask myself? It's all a damn joke. It's considered nothing. Instead of a street rat, an agitator, with absolutely no education, a bum, a rabble-rouser, is held up as a role model by this administration. That's what kills me. All this education, all of this struggle to achieve so that when my voice is spoken, people listen to me because I have the credentials to be listened to. Instead, a street rat gets up there and says, burn down a city, and the government applauds him. It's enough to make you sick. It's a world upside down. It's not Alice in Wonderland. You know what it is? It's a tyrant in the White House. That's why the world is upside down. The man has turned the world upside down. Turned it upside down. Where poverty is rewarded, where success is punished, where our worst enemies are praised and our allies like Israel are stiffed, where the military is used as a pawn, where our borders have descended into total chaos, while corporations and cronies like General Electric and Warren Buffett make off with all of the booty. That's why I say to you, this book is the one manifesto that stands between us and the deluge, trickle-down tyranny. I've put all my chips on this book. I've doubled down on all my bets. I've pulled out all the stops. I fought with my publisher over several of the lines in this book in every chapter. I had a fight with their lawyers. And I said to them, if it's not true, take it out. Well, they couldn't do that because every word in there is true. They said, well, aren't you worried about this and worried about that? I said, well, what's the point of a free press if you're worried about your government?
Savage.